This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Bing West, former Assistant Secretary of Defense and many multiple-time embed in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He's the author of the brand new book, The Wrong War, Grit, Strategy, and the Way Out of Afghanistan. And Bing, thanks so much for your time, as always.
My pleasure, Greg.
Well, the title of your book can kind of go in two different directions. One, whether we should still be there, and another is whether or not the war strategy is the right one. And let's take each of them. First of all, in this book, you have a lot of pretty harsh criticism for the counterinsurgency strategy, which gained so much praise due to the way General Petraeus implemented it in the last couple of years in Iraq. You say it's not working at all, really, the same way in Afghanistan. Explain why.
Well, when I was, as a Marine combat infantryman, when I had a combined action platoon, the focus of counterinsurgency was to attack the enemy. This new counterinsurgency doctrine that says that you protect the people and you win their hearts and minds, and then they reject the insurgents, I think is nuts, because it's not what happened in Iraq, and it certainly isn't what's happening in Afghanistan. We got totally diverted, and we took our military that's a warfighting organization and made it a peace corps. And for the last 4 years, I've been embedded with over 60 units up and down Afghanistan, and we're spending a lot of time drinking tea, spending billions of dollars. Every company has handouts that they make to the locals. And I keep asking myself, where are we going? We're not going to be able to create a democracy and drag Afghanistan into the 21st century. We've greatly diverted ourselves, and that's why it's the wrong war.
You also talk about how this strategy has basically served to grease the palms of people in Afghanistan, but that's not necessarily resulted in the end objective. What led you to the conclusion that not only the current strategy won't work, but it's pretty unlikely that any strategy is likely to work there?
Well, I didn't quite say, well, yeah, I'm... Good point. Look, I'm a professional on these battlefields, and I try to stay medium cool about watching on both sides and not becoming a cheerleader, just trying to be objective about it. And first, this notion that if we give people money, we can buy their loyalty is just wrong. And we should not be saying things like dollars or bullets. That sounds clever, but we both know if I give you something for nothing, I'm going to get nothing in return. When I really look at the battlefield and I try to show in battle after battle that our troops are terrific and they take it to the Taliban, but the Afghan soldiers don't, and that really worries me, because at some point we have to transfer this war to them. And what I've been urging people up and down the chain of command is spend much more time, as I did with my combined action unit in Vietnam, spend much more time putting steel into the Afghan soldiers on our side so that they believe that they're as tough as the Taliban and stop doing the job for them. Teach them how to fish. Don't just give them fish.
We're talking with Bing West. The book is The Wrong War. And Bing, you talk about how most of the action is either in the north, where the pathways are to safety for our enemies in Pakistan in the lawless tribal regions, or down in the south, Helmand Province, where the Taliban stronghold is and where the drug trade is heaviest. How dominant are we when we actually fight these people rather than trying to buy them off?
In the mountains, we have a real problem. We haven't figured out a way of fighting in the mountains. We need many more helicopters to do that. We're wearing 80 pounds of armor and equipment. They're carrying 5 pounds. So we can't catch up to them in the mountains. And it's like fighting the Apaches in the 1870s. In the south, the Marines are doing very, very well. They're systematically flushing them out and pushing them out. So you have a different war down there that actually is going much more in our favor than people thought it would. But when I look at the entire balance of it, I still come back to saying we don't need as many troops there, but we need more focus on fighting and more focus on persuading the Afghans that they really can carry on this fight, because you have that 1,500-mile border, and no matter how good we are, They, the enemy, can keep floating over the border and waiting and then coming back again.
Bing, one of the things that was really remarkable about the situation in Iraq is that in the early days, efforts to train Iraqi security forces almost looked like a Keystone Cops episode. They just didn't get it. They didn't have the stomach for the fight. And then after a while, suddenly things seemed to click and they've been doing much better. Do you get the sense that that's possible in Afghanistan, or is it just a different mentality among these people?
I'm hesitating, Greg, because it's too close to call. I can see good points and bad points, and it's like a stock in a volatile market. If you watch the stock market today, for instance, holy smokes, what's it going to do tomorrow? I just don't know. The problem is that the Pashtun tribes in the south, who are dominant there are 11 million of them, and they go back and forth into Pakistan. They are the tribe that supports the Taliban, and the Taliban are enmeshed in them. Most of the army is from the north, and they're from the Tajik and Hazara and other tribes, and they don't even speak Pashtu when they go down south. So we haven't brought the Pashtun tribe over so that they're contributing to the army against the Taliban. On the other hand, the Afghans fought their own civil war pretty much to a standstill until the Pakistanis went in on the side of the Taliban back in the 1990s. So on balance, I do believe if we continue to support the Afghans at a reasonable level, not at $100 billion and $100,000 a year, but at a reasonable level, let's drop it down to $20 billion or so, we could have a satisfactorily messy situation for the indefinite future.
I want to get your thoughts real quickly, Bing, on an issue that's been in the news this week, and we've seen it pop up from time to time, and that's basically negotiations at, I think, at the most basic levels at this point with the Taliban, perhaps in advance of the president's desire to begin removing troops later this year, and certainly in larger numbers beyond that. Good idea, and do you get the sense that these talks are achieving anything to this point?
I am totally suspicious that any American, can know what's going on in the head of a Pashtun Taliban and negotiate with them. I think we should stay out of trying to negotiate. The last time we had a negotiator, it was Secretary of State Kissinger negotiating an end to the war in Vietnam, and we know how badly that ended. So I'm not a big believer in saying, let's sit down and negotiate. I think that you negotiate from strength. I think we have the strength because our forces really know how to fight. I think we should trim back on the number of forces we have there and force them to be the ones who look for another way, not sit down and negotiate with them.
Two quick questions before we let you go. First of all, what do you see as the most likely exit strategy? It seems that the president's clear that he wants that, regardless of whether or not quote-unquote victory is achieved. What's your sense on how this is likely to unfold?
I think the generals before this summer are going to begin to declare victory, that they've done very, very well, regardless of what the real situation is, and we will withdraw troops at a much more rapid rate than people think we're going to be withdrawing troops, because I do not believe the president's going to go into the next election with the current mess that he has on his hands.
Do you get the sense that if we were to leave things pretty much where they are right now, that Afghanistan would or would not soon be once again a haven for terrorism?
It would not. It would not. Because our air today, with our troops on the ground, is fantastic, Greg. I've never seen anything like it. And every single patrol that we send out has somebody overhead watching what's going on. The Taliban can be pains in the butt for a long, long time, but they cannot mass and take a city like Kandahar or Kabul. That is beyond them forever, because of our capacity to stop them from massing.
And last question before we let you go. You mentioned it before, and I think it's the most important note to end on here, and that's just the quality and accomplishments of our men and women in uniform. You talk very vividly in the book about the man-to-man fights, going around corners, gun barrel to gun barrel with the enemy, and at the same time, just the very Spartan living conditions for weeks and months at a time some of these folks have to endure in terms of sanitary conditions and so forth. As you consider what you've seen recently, as well as on all your visits there, what comes to mind about the character and quality of our troops?
Well, I just love them. I'm going back next week with this platoon that's living in caves in a place called Sangin. And every time you're out with them, as long as they can take it to the enemy, their morale is high. And we need, America needs a strong warrior ethos in order to keep us protected. And these young men really have it. So I'm pretty optimistic about the kind of tough guy that's still going into the Army and the Marine Corps, grunts and infantry. I'm pretty optimistic about that.
Well, it's a phenomenal book, looking at the big picture and the very important details of day-to-day life for our combat troops and the various challenges and missions they're undertaking. Bing, a great work. Thank you, as always, for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Bing West is a retired Marine combat veteran. He's a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. His latest book, brand new, The Wrong War, Grit, Strategy, and the Way Out of Afghanistan. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.